T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from the heart of the NFL draft experience, sports talk, hot takes, and all of the bangers. This is the Playmakers on 1140 The Bet and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the greatest draft show, at least on this side of the table, the Playmakers. Lindsey Brown and your name's Adrian Hernandez. Glad that we are in sync.
I'm sorry.
You are the Lance Bass to my Justin Timberlake, and I'm going to leave you out to dry one of these days to pursue the single career. But you know what? Today is not that day. We are still in team sport mode. We are, again, live from the NFL draft at Caesars Forum. Well, I'm just saying, we gotta be in the sink, man.
Well, no, I needed to verify when you said that. I was just making sure the tables, a lot of lights, cameras, 4K cameras and everything, just making sure, you know, it's a situation going on right now. It's pretty packed here
in the
draft room, so things are elevated. We're getting closer, an hour away from the festivities to really pop off.
Yeah, I won't say that we were the first ones in here this morning, but we were certainly in the first dozen. Multiplication has happened. There's probably, what, 200 people in here right now?
Yeah,
we're directly in front of the speaker that's playing the draft coverage, and yeah, it's a little hectic in here. But what else could we expect for the NFL draft and it being for its first time here in Las Vegas? Yesterday we had Trey Wingo on, as you reminded us last hour, and he put forth the resolution, let's say, to have Vegas essentially host the NFL draft once every 4 years, 5 years. Like, let's put this in the rotation. And so we make a hell of a first impression, because otherwise people wouldn't be coming back here so often, right?
100%.
And so I think that's certainly going to be something that the NFL will explore in its future, because we've had a lot of different locations for Super Bowls, for drafts, but a lot of it has been more as a good for you for getting the stadium deal done through the legislation, right? We got to reward teams that are able to secure that. We're one of those communities here. But let's just say we know how to do it up a little bit better than everybody else.
No, 100%. As we're looking at some of the draft, I mean, the Bellagio fountains are going off. Mm-hmm. Somehow the stage is still there in the middle of the water, but they're still having the water show.
Do you think they have lifeguards?
I don't think so. I know that they got dudes in boats, because the ferries was the original plan for the draft picks.
So you don't think anybody is on staff at the fountains in case somebody falls in to save them?
Wow.
I would be shocked. I feel like that'd be a liability issue.
I feel like the security guards have to do double duty and know how to do
I know,
both.
But that's why you pay somebody else so the security guards can take care of their job, which is securing the thing, and then you have somebody to watch the water, because that's, you can't just like assume that the water's going to be safe.
No, 100%. I do, like, I'm very excited, and I said this last week. I hope everything goes smoothly as it is so far, and it looks beautiful, and so many people. I hope all the locals get to experience everything, because this is just the appetizer for what I think the NFL wants to do and has planned for the Super Bowl.
I know, but that's 2 years away still.
No, that's two years away. No, that's true, but so far, like, and we were able to go into the experience, and now they're starting to let people get into the actual draft theater. This is a beautiful thing, and no matter where you're going to see it on the Strip, or otherwise, because there's parties going on everywhere.
There's parties in here. They were wheeling booze through here 2 hours ago.
Like,
where are you going?
Honestly, there's rooms that say no access, but there's like strobe lights in those
rooms.
Right,
or they put like a wall in front of a door, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Don't look in here.
Yeah, please don't. A lot of Raiders are represented. A lot of Raiders fans out there.
I suppose they're invited, right?
Of course. I would hope so.
I would hope so.
You're Minnesota Vikings.
There are tons of us around here.
A lot. goes with the theme of the Purple.
We met a fan from, was he from Northern Ireland or Scotland?
I said Northern Ireland. We thought it was just an average
Joe. I tell you what,
Joe.
About the Vikings fandom internationally. And it makes a lot of sense because the Vikings are obviously in spirit of a lot of the Scandinavian immigration that the Midwest and specifically Minnesota has been a hotbed for. And so they had to immigrate from somewhere. It's usually in the area of the Europeans. And so a lot of them jump on the bandwagon. So I hope that I think his name is Adam, enjoys his evening, hopefully not sober.
100%.
Because he said as a Vikings fan, he knows better.
Yeah, true, true. And for the Raiders fans, too, they kind of get to relax because, listen, they got Davante Adams, right?
Yep.
And they don't pick until late Friday because their first pick is the 86th in the third round.
And this isn't the draft to trade up for talent in, so we're not really anticipating it, although we can't technically say that that's true.
Yeah, because
they
might move up round two for some offensive linemen because they damn sure need it. But the party is well underway, as the kids say.
It's a party. Yesterday we had our weekly edition of the Deep Dive with 35, and you posed the question to me, McShay or Kuiper? I went with McShay because I just thought Kuiper sits a little bit differently on TV and it bugs me. So I thought it would be a fun thing to do, as you like to say, just read off the internet for our radio show. I have the final mock draft submitted by Todd McShay in front of me right now, and you have
Mel Kiper Jr.
We're to compare, contrast, and then rip their takes to the ground if needed, but I feel like they may know just a little bit more, just a smidgen more. But Todd McShay has Trayvon Walker, the defensive end from Georgia, going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is the talent that a lot of people are saying doesn't have a whole lot of I've proven what I can do, but as a talent, as a ceiling for that talent, it's kind of undeniable. And so they're looking to add to an edge rush there. What did Kuiper put for number one overall for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I really don't like that they're tagging along and going with the same dudes.
No!
I wanted a disagreement. He went with Trayvon Walker, too. And this, the news of Trayvon getting to be the number one pick has started to gain steam this past week.
Yep.
Obviously, Georgia defense, we've talked about it ad nauseum. All-star defense, all-star team. But if he does go number one, this will be the first time that a defensive lineman, period, has gone in with no more or no less than 10 sacks. This guy only had 9.5 sacks. That's never happened before. There's been a little bit more production out of one of these linemen that's been taken at that number one slot.
According to Todd McShay, Aiden Hutchinson and his journal pages that are sewn into the very coat pockets he is wearing tonight, like a sweetheart, that's where he's thinking of going to the Motor City Kitties.
I have bad news.
Deviation or the same girl, same?
Same thing.
Come on, you guys. You guys are supposed to be disagreeable. That's 100%. The whole point behind media, right?
So let's get our first take on. So are you going with potential or consistency? Because obviously Aiden Hutchinson's opposite because he had 14 sacks this year. Accomplished everything that's
in
his
journal.
And he
went to Michigan, which you know is kind of a black spot if you're in the Muppet Treasure Island of our sports fandom.
But for Detroit.
Yeah.
It's the perfect.
Well, but in the spirit of just the conversation that we closed out our first hour with of our favorite players right now and where they were drafted, I mean, that Danielle Hunter was that potential pick, was betting on the high ceiling. But if it's not the right guy, man, that's a swift downfall. You better hope that you hedged your bet. So I'm going to go with potential. I'm going to stick with Trayvon Walker to go first overall.
Nice.
Rather than Aiden Hutchinson. What about you?
I would take Aiden just out of – listen, the Jaguars have a lot of needs, right?
That's true.
And you need someone who's consistent, who's proven itself, was in the Big Ten, was in Michigan, has done big things, has done better as he progressed into his career at Michigan and all those years that he spent over there.
Yeah.
So I would go with Aiden Hutchinson.
Somebody said on the NFL broadcast or NFL Network broadcast just a few minutes ago, or at least made the bold prediction that three edge rushers would go in a row to start out this draft. McShay does not believe so. He thinks that Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback out of LSU, is going to go to the Houston Texans, another team with a lot of holes to fill. What's the difference between this cornerback and what's the other cornerback that everybody's really in love with? The Notre Dame kid, right? Or is he a linebacker? No, he's a safety.
That's the safety.
Safety cornerback. I mean, you can kind of mix and match with those, can't you?
Yeah, 100%. But the one that impressed us, too, as he walked on to the stage for the first time, the other cornerback is Ahmad Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner knows all about those irrigation systems.
Yeah. So with three your boy Todd McShay is going with Derek Stingley Jr. from LSU.
Yeah, another ceiling pick.
My guy Mel Kiper Jr. is going with Akeem Iwanu.
Finally, a deviation.
Who was on stage. A lot of suit talk, ladies and gentlemen, because some of these suits are spectacular. I do think that they need a left tackle to go with Tunsil, Laramie
Tunsil. Larry Tunsil.
Who we talked about yesterday.
NFT didn't take off as well as we anticipated.
But the one team, and Houston is one of these teams that has two picks. They have 3 and 13.
That's true.
They could go wherever. They can do whatever they want. They're one of the biggest question marks, and they're kind of going to set the tone of, you know, are we going to go defensive ends, and then now the tackles are going to be taken? Are they going to switch course? Are they going to trade down to get more value?
Well, and sometimes you get the guy that you really want first, and then you're able to kind of make that second pick a little bit expendable. But luckily,
Lovie Smith being a defensive guy too,
absolutely
go defense. So there's a lot of
very good.
The
point
unpredictability
to make.
Of this draft is unparalleled to years past.
McShay's draft has Iwanu going fourth to the New York Jets. We got Chris Cross's cousin, Charles Cross from Mississippi State, the offensive tackle, going fifth to the New York Giants, according to Todd McShay's final mock draft. Another team with multiple first-round picks and plenty of areas to improve upon. And I forget, they're dealing with a new head coach. So we got to remember the clock's kind of reset.
And Joe Sheen, too, from Buffalo. So Joe Sheen, GM from Buffalo, and Brian Daboll as well as the new head coach. And
how about them not picking up Daniel Jones' fifth-year option today?
But if they do get a tackle, they're trying to give him the opportunity to prove himself.
Yep.
Like Baker could have. And
are you a Baker apologist now, or have you changed your colors?
No, I said like Baker could have. Like they tried to give him the tools to see if they'd get the extension. So Charles Cross, another dude, humongous, played in the SEC, played at Mississippi State. It's a big boy dealing with other big boys. Him and Andrew Thomas can kind of anchor that offensive line on both sides. So that is the safest pick, in my opinion, for the Giants to go tackle.
When it comes to making the safe picks and being at the mercy of your team's context, just as I mentioned that the Giants are not dealing with the Joe Judge, you know, guillotine hanging over his head. Matt Rhule, absolutely, absolutely has a guillotine hanging over his head. This is going to be, what, his fourth season at the helm of the Carolina Panthers, and now you could probably chalk up a lot of their lack of success to Christian McCaffrey's injury problems, and that's why you don't pay the running backs that much money. But it really has handcuffed them and their ability to put together a team that can compete. I don't like that they moved on from Teddy Bridgewater 2 years ago to go to Sam Darnold. But Todd McShay says Evan Neal, offensive tackle out of Alabama, would certainly be helpful to one Mr. Sam Darnold and his running around issues.
And if this is another pick that could change the course of what is Carolina going to do. So they have the sixth pick. They don't have a second-round pick.
It's almost like a chaos button.
Chaos.
Oh, wow, we're good. Chaos. We are so good. We didn't even plan it that way.
Yeah, it works out like that. With Carolina, though, like I said, no second-round pick. They could acquire more picks. They have $30 million in cap space. So the Lord and your savior,
Jimmy G. The Lord's light, you think, is going to go to Carolina?
Or Baker. No, I'm saying whether it's Jimmy G or Baker Mayfield, if they want to go veteran, they can of absorb that in their cap space. They could go get a quarterback.
But if they go 3 years in a row moving on from a new quarterback, I feel like that says something worse.
And to me, the safest thing, and Mel Kiper as well as Evan O'Neill going to the Panthers, is you get someone to share that line and you get one of these veterans. Because to me, although their owner for the Panthers is from Pittsburgh and probably loves Kenny Pickett, to take him at six seems kind of ridiculous. Or taking someone who's kind of proven in Baker Mayfield and just trying your best, because this is desperate times.
Yeah.
Because, and we talked about this before the show, getting a rookie quarterback, some people would say, okay, that kind of resets the button and kind of gives you time. Go ask Matt Nagy what happened when they got Justin Fields and he got fired.
Well, there's getting a new quarterback, and then there's being incompetent to be able to put him in a position to succeed. And so I just think Matt Nagy completely lost control of that team and just overall his ability to probably even run his staff in a lot of ways. And so that's why they moved on. And as a person in the NFC North, we're more happy for it. I hope that his successor is less successful than he is. But we already mentioned Ahmad Gardner, cornerback Cincinnati. McShay has it going to the New York Giants, which we know they acquired through a trade with Chicago. But
that hurts for Bears fans.
And McShay, here's the bit here, because here's the dropper. Here's the far. Kayvon Thibodeau, who has been one of those names that a lot of people associate with that top pick, and I know we've supplanted them with the Aiden Hutchinsons, with the Trayvon Walkers. But this is a guy with a lot of talent, and it's coming from a very strong program. Sliding all the way down to 8 in the Atlanta Falcons on McShay's draft. I feel like the Falcons would run to the podium.
Mel Kiper doesn't even have him in the top 10.
What?
And this is what we're talking about, that depending on how this is going to go, one of these dudes, whether it's the stud wide receivers.
I wonder why he's falling.
The tackles, because he cares about his brand, and he got hurt.
He's a well-rounded person, so therefore distracted away from the only thing that matters, which is work.
And Jermaine, and for Mel, he has Jermaine Johnson going to the Giants, and this is a dude who, going into the season, was the 5th or 6th best edge rusher, and now he's jumping over the dude that was the consensus number one going into the season. And this is what's going to happen, and this is going to change a lot of teams' trajectories. Because, like, what if one of these tackles drops down? Are the Saints now going to move up? Are some of these teams that are at the bottom that need certain positions? And we haven't even mentioned the quarterback yet.
No.
This is nuts.
No.
But we're not going to for a while.
And that's where it's like sometimes when you start getting into the double-digit picks, like your 10 pluses, that's where teams, you're at the mercy of what's going on in front of you, and you might have, well, this is our biggest need. Like, so let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings, because we haven't mentioned them at all today. They're a team that needs a lot of secondary help, and McShay has Kyle Hamilton going to the Minnesota Vikings, safety out of Notre Dame. I would be elated.
As
you mentioned, what if a tackle falls? You know what else is an every year type of thing that the Minnesota Vikings need? Offensive line. And sometimes, well, we're drafting the best player available. Sometimes that supersedes your greatest point of need. You know?
Yeah.
I feel that.
And there's going to be situations you move down to this 10th and 11th slot with the New York Jets and the Washington Commanders. A lot of people are assuming the Commanders need a wide receiver to pair with Terry McLaurin. Are they going to move up? Because the Jets, obviously, they tried to get Tyreek Hill. So we know that they're intrigued about getting some more weapons around with Zach Wilson.
They're going to get a receiver that'll run like 2 yards and then hook back, because Carson Wentz, you know, without having someone right in front of his face to say, I'm on your team. Sometimes he gets confused, guys.
So Chris Olave it is. But these are going to be some of these interesting situations, because there's too much talent at some of these positions for someone not to drop down. And if you guys get Kyle Hamilton, like you said,
I would love my life, and I guarantee that Harrison Smith would love his life too, because he's the other safety in the Minnesota Vikings, also a Notre Dame alum. You mentioned the quarterback. Very likely that we don't have one picked in the first round, but if there's a team that you think is likely to make that move, is desperate enough to make that move, dumb enough to make that move.
Strong words.
Well, I'm just saying, don't know. We don't know. It remains to be seen. Which team is that for you?
Got 3.
Okay.
Steelers.
Yep.
Tennessee Titans.
Really? I love it.
And the Saints.
Even after they had to bring Jameis back in saying, sorry, we pursued Deshaun.
I think that, so they have the Saints have the 16th and
19th. Dennis Allen knows how to wheel and deal, doesn't he? He has to get this team on track.
No, they do. And the Saints have an extra first round pick next year. So I think they can pair their first round pick next year and a second round pick this year and move up and get a tackle. And
or a
then,
quarterback. Corral guy, do you think they would trade up for Mississippi? He's a local
guy,
kid, kind of.
I don't think that guy's going to go in the first round. And
well,
to be honest.
He's going to be at the draft thing.
Yeah, I hope that dude does not. with Pittsburgh, I do think that Malik Willis is a person that they can get, that they can kind of.
Liberty
they need
guy,
a quarterback.
Right?
Yeah. At 20, that's a safe pick. And for me, with the Tennessee Titans, Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, I want a lot of people not to overlook the Vrabel-Luke Fickell connection.
Ooh,
at
yeah.
Cincinnati. Obviously,
at Ohio
both
State.
Ohio State dudes. Desmond Ridder is getting a lot of pub these last few weeks, especially even with Pittsburgh, too.
Assassin's Creed stock must be way up.
I like that. Those are the 3 teams that I think are going to be in a position to take a quarterback. And, you know, think about the future.
I think the most desperate of those teams for – I kind of think Pittsburgh is. Maybe because their roster – the rest of their roster is ready. But they're like, oh, well, we'll see what Mitch brings us. Well, you need to have somebody compete. They could be one step away, honestly. And I know you love to hear that, Adrian, because you're just like the most diehard Steelers fan I probably ever had the pleasure of meeting.
Of course.
And so I just hope that it goes well for you guys today.
Do you think Jimmy G or Baker's going to get moved?
I think Jimmy does. I think Baker is a little radioactive right now.
And you don't say.
Yeah, I think that teams are going to wait longer for him, maybe more into training camp to see. There's always a team that loses their starter in training camp, always. But Jimmy, I feel like he keeps his cards so close to the vest, and he's obviously found a lot of success in San Francisco. And so overall, I think he's just a better piece. But as Trey Wingo said yesterday, it seems like a lot of the trade propositions that he had heard about aren't up to the value of Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers top brass to consider it. So hopefully we get some updates and some movement on that, because those dominoes are always really important to fall. And I'd really like to wrap up so we can start committing everybody to memory where they're going to be, where they are, because unprecedented offseason, as we've talked about over the last few weeks, and is certainly still a buzz here at the NFL draft as media members continue to file in. We see suits, we see shorts, we see tattoos, we see piercings, we see all walks of life, and we're
and
so happy
catering.
To be here. Absolutely, great catering. The cookies are top notch. Speaking of top notch, it comes to our interview with Trista Crick, everything NBA, a couple of draft questions as well, but you know we got to get into the Wolves and other things percolating around the NBA. Trista Crick from BetMGM tonight joins us, 11:40 The Bet.
Welcome back to The Playmakers, live on Radio Row at the 2022 NFL Draft on 11:40 The Bet and the Odyssey app.
Brooklyn, Denver, Chicago have all booked their trips to Cancun to begin their off-season activities, and more are on the way as we close out the first round of the NBA playoffs. And here to help us navigate through it all is the one and only host of BetMGM Tonight and our NBA insider, Trista Crick. Insider Call is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download your BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
Another highly anticipated installment with the Trista Crick, the highest of honors on the biggest of stages, at least outside of the one floating on the Bellagio fountains. But before we get to the NFL draft chatter, let's just say I still believe, Trista. I have full confidence in the gauntlet that is the Target Center for Game 6, but Game 5, we all know what we saw. Singular specialty from Ja. I mean, am I just too much of a fan right now to still believe, because we saw something special the other night?
Well, if I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, which I'm not right now, what I would say to myself, to assuage myself, is I would say we've had these games, and I think we are the better team. I think we Timberwolves have the better matchup. The question that you guys need to ask yourselves, though, Lindsay, is who wants it more? Mm. Who wants it more? Because right now I hear a lot of chattering. I hear a lot of too small with Pat Beverly and his nine measly little points. And all that did was ignite the fire inside of Mr. Ja Morant.
Talk about
and,
it.
And that is why you're at the Target Center just hanging on for dear life instead of telling these boys to go home.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that. What's more demoralizing in your mind, the dunk that Ja put down and will be printed in so many posters, or the pivot that lost Ant up at the key that enabled the floater layup that he was able to take the lead and eventually the win with?
I would say probably the dunk. The dunk. Like, I know it's like drive for show, putt for dough, but like that dunk. This man is on one leg right now, and he's got swelling in his knee, and he decided, I'm not playing any more games now with these guys. I think he's kind of doing the whole, like, CP3. It's like the rope-a-dope. He's trying to conserve all of his energy. They're just hanging on until the fourth quarter when it's time to shut you out.
Trista, before we get to some of these series and some of these games tonight and leading up to this weekend, I want to ask you, more disappointing playoff performance so far between Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, or Kyrie Irving?
I think it's got to be Kyrie Irving. Other than the fact that he had 41 in game one, he was just, no, I can't say that. That's a lie. It's Trae. It's Trey. What am I even saying?
No threes last game.
Trey?
Of course it's Trey. You guys thought I was just gonna pile on Kyrie Irving? No. No, sir. Trey Young, I don't even know if Trey Young is going to, like, come back from that performance. Like, he went from ice Trey to ice cold. He went from we are the future in the East to we might need to blow up the team. I think it might be DeAndre Hunter's team now.
You think the performance was that bad? That, like,
he had eight points in one game?
Yeah.
Big-time players do big-time things?
This is true.
And he made no big-time – he had one floater to win that game. Like, here's the reason that it was so demoralized, so bad. The end of the game in game five in Miami, they're running a play for – apparently they said they were running it for Trey. 5.7 seconds left on the clock. They said they were running the play for Trey to hit a three, which he was over 5 from 3 that night. So, okay, that's fine. Go with your guy. But, Trey wasn't even anywhere near the huddle. He was off staring into Never Neverland. He had Gallinari that ended up getting the ball. Gallinari was obstructing his view and ending up with the ball in the corner of the court, getting absolutely mauled. Trey Young was running away from the ball. He didn't even want it.
That's not a good place to be if that's supposed to be the leader of your team. That is not a place to be.
He did a pandemic pee, folks. He hit the side backboard.
Not a playoff pee.
Not a playoff pee. That's the worst. I'm just glad that Karl Anthony Towns' name is not on that list, because in early returns of these series, he certainly would have been. But things have changed. And it's not just in terms of some players stepping it up or maybe kind of regressing back to a lower level of their play. But we are dealing with a lot of injuries. So in your mind, who's repping the peskiest injury to play with / rehab at this point? We got angry knees on Jimmy Buckets. We got Joel's thumb. You got Booker's hammy, Luka's ankle. I'm not so much focused on how bad they are, but rather how much that affects the presence and the overall flow of the team and their ability to withstand their opponent.
I think it's got to be Joel Embiid. Like, he said he can't catch and he can't pass. I mean,
whoops.
That's like what he does. That's like, whoops. Those are two critical components of playing the game. Like, once he gets the ball in his hands, like, shooting's not so hard. I mean, it's both, like, they're both, everything's painful. But in terms of, like, getting a grip on the basketball, the thumb is integral in that. He's throwing the ball away. He's not able to rebound. I think he's like 25-30% down in terms of production on assists and on rebounding. He's getting to a point where, like, the team obviously needs him in order to win. They're not the same when he's not dominant. But it also is like Doc Rivers' legacy is now yet again in question with the 3-1 lead. 3-0 lead, excuse me. So I don't know if you saw it, but Doc Rivers went on a little rant about how we're being unfair. How that Orlando team, that 8 seed he coached, that was we really should have given him credit for that.
You got to make sure you bring all the worksheets that you completed for the final grade, because sometimes the teacher loses the book. But if there's an unsung...
What about class participation, Lindsay? I'm in class. I'm asking questions. Give me a gold star. Who cares if I fail the test?
We just got to feel nice, warm, and fuzzy inside. If there was an unsung hero out of nowhere award for a surprising individual playoff production / impact, who would be your early nominees at this juncture?
The first name that came to mind to me was Brandon Clark. A lot of rebounds were tipped to Jaw and to Desmond Bane. I think he had 15 rebounds. Most of those were in the fourth quarter in game five. He had 21 points. Most of those points were in the fourth quarter. He's not a guy that anybody thinks about, but, you know, Jaren Jackson's been god-awful. Mm-hmm. And when he ended up fouling out, they went ultra-small. They played BC at the small five. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for those rebounds, you know, Minnesota could have ended up running away with it and, you know, would have been in a spot to close out in game six. I think also Victor Oladipo, another unsung hero, coming in, basically being like the understudy of Jimmy Butler. Like, when Jimmy Butler, the Hamlet, ends up going down with, like, typhoid food poisoning, Victor Oladipo steps in and just does his very, very best Jimmy Butler impression. I think, like, a Grayson Allen shooting corner threes.
No, we hate to hear it. We hate to hear it. Any sort of positivity.
No Chris Middleton, just out there making hay while the sun shines, as my mom would say.
Trista, I want to ask you one of the more entertaining series that I am just thoroughly enjoying, the Pelicans and the Suns. And obviously, we know how you feel about Devin Booker, and he hasn't been able to play. But to me, this kind of feels reminiscent when the Spurs won the championship, that 2013-2014 season, where they were the number one seed, and they ended up in that first round going seven games with Dallas, who was the eighth seed. And to me, I feel like this is great because obviously Phoenix has had such a great season that they might have been coasting towards the end, and this kind of wakes them up because the Pelicans have, you know, slapped them in the mouth and they haven't backed down. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I think this will be a huge test. As long as Chris Paul continues to have all of his energy and he's not dinged up or bruised up where that impacts him for the next series, I think they're getting DB back. I think they're getting Book tonight back, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, last night Monty Williams said that he was out, but that might change, and that game seven for certain, but possibly tonight. I don't know the latest update, though.
Okay, so either way, they've figured out how to play that Suns brand of basketball without him. When, you know, obviously the first couple of games, it took time to figure out who's going to be in what role. Cam Johnson obviously needed to step up. JaVale McGee needed to step up. Even Bismack Biyombo getting minutes. You talk about unsung heroes, like Bismack Biyombo and JaVale McGee need to be there in the stead as well. So, yeah, I think they needed something to jolt them back to, you know, say, like, listen, it's not given to you. Yes, you are the one seed, but you've got to earn every single game, and you can't allow Jose Alvarado, Grand Theft Alvarado, to get under your skin.
What a nickname.
And I know, it's incredible. And to out Chris Paul you. So, yeah, I really, like, do credit the Pelicans for everything they've done because at this point, it's just a great story. 1-12, 3-16. I remember saying to myself, like, 15 games of the season, wow, is there anyone worse than the Pelicans? And, like, turns out yes. There's a lot of teams worse.
On the flip side of that bracket, though, in the Western Conference, do you feel like the favorite is flipped with Golden State and how well they're playing? And, you know, Clay and Steph getting back to rhythm. It's going to be a star-studded competition, man. I cannot wait for that series if it happens.
Yeah, I would love to see it, too. I need to see Golden State play against a better opponent because I think, truthfully, they could have lost three games to Denver. They only lost, what, one? Mm-hmm. But they could have lost last night. And they could have lost, what, game two. So, and that's just with, you already know what the action is. It's literally Jokic either brings it up or someone else brings it up. They figure out a way to set a screen. Jokic does like a dribble handoff and then rolls to the rim. You hit him with the ball. Nobody can stop him when he holds it high. And then, like, everybody knows that that's what it's going to be. But you couldn't stop it. So, that's just with one player in the Denver Nuggets. So I'm very curious how they're going to operate with a team that's going to be more on the offense in terms of, like, they're going to be the ones leading the charge, the Suns. They're going to be creating defensive intensity and pressure and leverage, whereas, like, Golden State was sort of front-running, I think, because Denver was so undermanned.
Always willing to buy into the Wiggins influence and effect. I have a creative question for you, Trista, if you're willing.
Sure.
All right. Let's play Dr. Frankenstein and build an NBA playoff monster from parts. We have an offense, a defense, and a mental game. Where do the pieces come from to make up this monster?
Mental game. Chris Paul. Ooh. Offense. Man.
Minnesota Timberwolves, perhaps?
I mean, if you could put Chris Paul's mentality into Carl Anthony Towns offensively, oh, I think I would have to say that. Defensively, Herb Jones?
Herbert, baby? Herbert.
Is there another piece? This puzzle, or am I missing one?
No, it's just offense, defense, and then the mental game, unless you think that I'm missing one for what's necessary to bring this alive.
That was it. That's what do you guys think of that player?
I think it's pretty solid, especially since I feel extra included in it with the Wolves.
I kind of question the Chris Paul, though. He's been getting shook by Jose, who's been in his head.
I know. Maybe you just put Jose Alvarado's mentality in there, like under, you know, like chip on his shoulder from Queens, you know. I love those guys who are undersized, you know, probably has had to work for everything his entire life just to get to this place, undrafted, now playing crunch time minutes. Like, folks are wondering, is Jose Alvarado the next Chris Paul? Folks are asking. The streets are talking.
The streets!
They're chattering. They're chattering, absolutely.
I just made that up.
It's all good. It sounds genius anyways. We need some draft genius for both of our respective NFL teams. It's a different type of sickness for the Minnesota Viking fandom, but your Dallas Cowboys, we all saw the playoff loss. It was pretty embarrassing. What do you think the Cowboys need to address to get themselves over the hump and win a playoff game for one of these days?
Coaching?
Fair.
Can we draft a coach?
You can trade one.
Jesus. I mean, it's been...
Please don't swear.
I love her Mike McCarthy hate. It's just, it's so spot on.
I forgot about that playoff loss. Like, I've put it out of my head.
That's what happens with trauma.
That's what we have to do. It's like Men in Black. I would get rid of Mike McCarthy's stat. I think probably some secondary help. Definitely help on the offensive line. Maybe, I don't know, like, some salary cap help. I mean, we're in salary cap hell right now, which is why we've gotten rid of, you know, Amari Cooper and Lyle Collins and letting other pieces go that I think, like, would definitely help the team. I could see us going wide receiver, though. Like, I could see us going, getting a 5'10 kid from Penn State.
We're taking a flyer on him. We have high ceiling.
Dotson, taking a Jahan Dotson, even though we've got CeeDee Lamb in the slot. I don't know what we're going to do with them, but that's what Daniel Jeremiah says we're going to do, so that's probably what we're going to do.
Oh, everything but the grip, the stance, and the swing, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Trista, I wish you were here. They just rolled through some Henny. El Paso Sports
what?
Radio is here.
Yeah.
This
What's
is,
up, El Paso?
It is nuts.
You're driving up.
My final question for you. The Packers and Chiefs, both good teams that have multiple picks in the first round. Do you see either one of those teams moving up?
I don't think the Packers will. Maybe the Chiefs, but I don't think so. They definitely have needs to address. Obviously, the Packers losing Davante Adams was huge, so they might go out. I think Ryan convinced me. I know Ryan convinced me to take -200 Green Bay. So, I mean, I've never taken a -200 bet individually in my life to take a wide receiver
on Green if they Bay move up, of all teams.
I know it's sick, but I mean, it's Ryan. I got a co-host. One team, one dream. You know what I mean? So. If anyone was to do it, I would probably think Kansas City out of those two.
Fair enough. Trista Crix, many thanks for you being you and for sharing your time and insight with us today. Give my best to the BetMGM Tonight crew and have a blessed show and evening, my friend.
Hey, you guys enjoy that draft. That's going to be sick. I hear they're bringing the draft picks out on boats.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, on the Bellagio Fountains, and I appreciate your excitement when I said there was Henny being carted around here.
Yeah, that was a fact.
Wow.
Basking in the greatness that is Trista Crick, the NFL draft, and all things sports with a Z. All guests are brought to us by BetQL. Bet smarter to beat the books. BetQL.com or that app, though, will work as well. Final breaths before the draft kicks off, at least the first night underway, or at least on the way. 11:40 the bet.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hear me, no one sees me, no one. Hear me, no one sees me, no one. I'm off the radar.
Welcome back to The Playmakers, live on Radio Row at the 2022 NFL Draft.
We have reached the
on
awkward
40 the bet and the Odyssey app.
I'm dead. Why is there too big of a pause right there? Guys, I had such a good thing lined up. I'm like, we've reached the awkward bro hug Goodell moment portion of the evening, but I stepped on my own touchdown call. Tis the life of a Vikings fan. We've befriended some Buffalo people across the way from us, some kindred spirits and misery there. But just the final few minutes here before the first round of the 2022 NFL Draft kicks off. We are live here at the Caesars Forum. What we're seeing on TV, what you're seeing on TV is like literally just a two-doorway stone's throw away from us. And so it's been kind of bizarre to be here, especially since, you know, it's supposed to be 2020, had to postpone it, like, time is a social construct, but just the scale. I mean, even in our media room here, it's just, it's been a while,
no,
if ever.
100%, and we got helicopters flying through both stages from the Strip and the Bellagio over here at the Link. It's massive.
Trying to avoid traffic. They're smart.
Yeah, 100%, and we are as Las Vegas and as Raiders fans, we kind of are hosting tonight because we ain't really participating. We're just making sure everyone's having fun, but our division rivals will be getting down to business. So before we get out of here, let's start off with the Chiefs, who have 12 picks in this draft, tied for most with the Jaguars. What they're going to be looking for, wide receivers, safeties. They could use some cornerbacks. Obviously, there's a couple good wide receivers in our division and some edge rushers. I believe, and this is strange to say, because this is a very rare opportunity where a team with multiple picks in the first round is going to move up but be a team that is a good team and not one of these bottom dwellers. I think they're going to move up to get one of these wide receivers because why not? When you have 12 assets to use, you might as well use them, especially this offseason, right?
Right, and they have the most important position locked down with Patrick Mahomes, and so you're not looking towards next year's draft for a better quarterback crop. And so it would make a lot of sense for them to not operate under the same rules in terms of why would you trade up in this draft? Like there's so much depth, there's not that many blue chippers. Well, we're not looking for a whole lot, guys.
Yeah, and they have the 29th and 30th pick back-to-back. Moving on to the Broncos, of course, Russell Wilson. They had to, 100%, they had to, trade a couple things to get Russell Wilson. So what they're going to be looking for,
all of their things.
Some more help in the offensive line. They need someone to replace their tight end, another edge rusher, and as always, for everyone else in this division, some depth at the cornerback. They're going to have a second-round pick, so thankfully they can't get one of these studs in the first round. The 64th
pick. They traded Noah Fant to Seattle, right? He was a wide receiver, or was he a tight end?
He was a tight end, so
okay.
they need
that's
to replace
our,
that production.
I was just looking for that clarification. Perfect. Yeah, I think that, like, we assume that the Bengals are pretty fortified. I don't think it's nearly as solid of a foundation as we think. But you know what? Russell Wilson covers up a lot of manholes.
100%. Moving on to
especially
the Chargers.
Around the White House.
Moving on to the Chargers. They got 10 picks. And
I like the Chargers this year, guys.
I feel like they're in a position where, hey, let's get an offensive lineman. Sure. Let's protect Herbert.
Yeah.
Let's get someone on the defense. For sure. They got Justin Herbert.
Easy peasy.
Let's get a wide receiver. Why not? Justin Herbert, some more pieces.
Yep.
So
Keenan Allen can't always just be him.
Yeah, so they have a lot of flexibility, and they're going at the 17th pick in the first round. That's going to be their first pick. Mm. They also could get, once again, another cornerback, maybe someone for some depth behind Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa.
I would do that. I would get some depth because these are – We assume that it's just so easy to constantly exist in these bodies when we're talking about, like, the linemen, the edge rushers and stuff, how easily it is for them to get hurt or get tweaked and stuff. And it's just that's the whole house of cards can come tumbling down.
Yeah.
That's where I would go. But
they're in a safe spot.
Nobody's paying me to make picks yet.
Yeah, they can do – yet, exactly. They can do whatever they want. And before we get out of here, we are minutes away from the first pick in the NFL draft. Any bold predictions before we say goodbye?
I think we are going to see a contender trade up. I think there is somebody dumb enough out there to do it, or they have somebody in their mind that they really want to get. Maybe it's the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think someone that we wouldn't assume to trade up, especially in this draft, is going to do so. That's my bold prediction.
My bold prediction? Deebo Samuel.
No.
Will be a New York Jet by the end of the night.
I think that is a terrible, terrible take for him, for you, for San Francisco, for New York. But you know what? It might get done.
Two top 10 picks.
They can't miss out on another wide receiver again after they got left in the cold in the
Tyreek Hill situation.
Yeah,
where he
him.
Was like, the Jets, rightfully so.
Home of football expertise here at the NFL Draft, or at least amongst some of our most beloved colleagues. We'll be back tomorrow. Be well to each other, mostly to yourselves. Use your blinkers, especially with how many people are rolling around tonight. And otherwise, enjoy the abyss that is your life. 22 hours until we're back here at the NFL Draft at Caesars Forum. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.